Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Earlier this year, as part of its centennial celebration, members of the Trinity Episcopal Church in Grand Ledge removed a time capsule that had been placed in the cornerstone all the way back in 1912. Among the newspaper articles, photographs, and letters found in the capsule was a small package intended for the descendants of the Reverend J.E. Foote. The congregation has yet to identify any of Reverend Foote's relatives, and right now Clifford Nags, the church's senior warden, and junior warden John Bundy joined Current State to discuss this mystery. How are you?
Good morning. Very
well. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for coming in. Let's start at the beginning here. Earlier this year, you opened a time capsule from 1912 that was placed in the cornerstone of the church. Tell us about that, and what did you find in there?
Well, in preparing for the centennial, we ran across a book in our library, which was entitled A History of the Western Diocese of Michigan. And in reading through there, we discovered a passage about the building of Trinity Episcopal Church in Grand Ledge, which referred to setting the cornerstone and referred to the time capsule. So that's how we knew it was there in the first place.
And did you discover that late, though? I mean, when did you discover that?
Oh, it was about a year or so ago. So we were aware of that and then planned to open that as part of our centennial celebration, which we did on Easter of this year, because Easter was the day that the church was officially consecrated by the bishop, then Bishop McCormick. And so our current bishop at the time, Bishop Gephardt, visited with us, and we had retained a building restoration company to come in and open the time capsule for us, which we did officially on Easter.
But I want to be clear about this. Did your congregation go some number of years not realizing there was a time capsule buried in the cornerstone of the church?
Oh, I'm sure they did. Oh,
okay. Yeah. So it was when you discovered this this item that you just mentioned that you realized you had one of those. Now you have this small package addressed to relatives of Reverend J.E. Foote. Who was Reverend J.E. Foote?
Well, Reverend Foote, as it turns out, is actually depicted in a picture of the groundbreaking of the church. He was a congregational minister in Grand Ledge at the time, and so the mystery was, what was the connection between a congregational minister and the Episcopal Church? As it turns out, his grandfather, Lumen Foote, was the first Episcopal priest in Charlotte, and so James E. was raised in the Episcopal tradition, made his way to Charlotte and became a congregational minister and was involved in that way.
What have you done to find the relatives?
Well, the first avenue was to talk to a reporter from the Grand Ledge Independent, and an article was published in the Grand Ledge Independent. A subsequent article was published in the Lansing State Journal. And from that point forward, it sort of went viral. It was about 2 weeks ago, I received a call from a reporter from the New York Daily News, and they had picked it up, I believe, on the internet, because we do have a Facebook site. And I was interviewed, Cliff was interviewed, and there was an article published in the New York Daily News on the mystery of finding the descendants of Reverend Foote.
Any luck? Any response?
Well, we may have a break. As it turns out, I received a call from, or I actually called, she had left a message, a Sandra Garrison from Charlotte, who is a relative through the Packard family from Charlotte. And she gave me the name of a Janet Foote, who lives outside of Houston, Texas, who we've talked to. And it appears as though she's a fourth generation Foote, a direct descendant from the Reverend J.E. Foote. So we think we're on to something.
And when will you know more?
Well, we're corresponding with Janet, and we'd like to have her come to Michigan and present her with this package and open it so we can see what's inside. I mean, there's speculation. It's likely letters and photographs. who knows, there's jokingly saying there's a treasure map or who knows what's what's in it. But she's very, very excited about it.
But it appears to be papers. It appears to be.
Okay. Yes. It's about the size of a large envelope that's wrapped up in paper and tied with string and inscribed in the hand of an old inkwell pen.
Right.
We'll have a photo of that package, by the way, on the Current State website at WKAR.org here before too much longer. What's the timeline here then? Have you made plans to invite Ms. Foote to Grand Ledge?
Well, we're still in conversation with her. She said she would prefer not to travel in the winter, so it may be spring or so before we're able to get her to Grand Ledge and have a service and ceremony to actually present it, and hopefully she can bring some of her relatives in as well, so it ought to be very exciting.
Now, what else was in the time capsule that really grabbed your attention, John?
Well, probably the most interesting thing, or one of the most interesting things, was a 1700s Book of Common Prayer, which probably is quite valuable, and we did, in fact, return that to the new time capsule, which was recently interred in the cornerstone. There were numerous photographs, numerous postcards, a newspapers, a farmer's almanac, and we did include a 1914 farmer's almanac in the new package. We replaced, I would say, probably 75% of the items that were in the time capsule when we found it, and replaced those in the new time capsule. And then with the other items have been donated to the Grand Ledge Historical Society, along with the original copper box that was opened. That box was sheet copper. It was very carefully soldered shut, and we, in order to get into the time capsule, had to destroy the box, or at least cut it open with tin shears, and that will be also on display at the Grand Ledge Historical Society. So some of the new things that we put in it, as I said, were the Farmer's Almanac, 1914 edition, a parish picture, a current prayer book, actually right out of the pews of the church, a number of articles. One of the articles that was in the time capsule that was really, really interesting was an in-depth article on the sinking of the Titanic.
Hmm.
And, of course, that would have been a really big deal
at that point
in time.
1912.
So there was some really interesting pictures of the Titanic. And so we put some information on the 9/11 incident that happened in New York City, which was a big incident in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. How many members in your congregation, Cliff, and how did they respond when they found out there was a time capsule buried in the cornerstone of
your
church?
Well, everyone was really excited about it, as you might expect. We have about 40 what we would call pledging units, families, that are regular attendees, but there are a number of families in the Grand Ledge area that call Trinity their home as well. And it's been a very exciting time.
It sounds like a dramatic moment. I mean, the moment you actually punctured the box and started pulling things. Who had the honors of actually pulling things out of the time capsule?
Well, I had the honors of opening the box. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I'm sure.
The thing that impressed me was the care and the craftsmanship of the box, the way it was sealed, and I really felt connected to the whole process of putting the box in the crypt, which is in the cornerstone. I really felt connected to the person who made the box, and of course reinforced my 53-year-old tenure of connection to Trinity Church.
Were the materials well preserved?
Yes, yeah. Very well preserved.
Surprisingly so. They were all wrapped in paper and tied with string, and the copper box did the trick. I mean, there was no water damage, nothing.
Now, I suppose one of the challenges here, as you found out, is making sure that generation after generation after generation remembers that there's a time capsule buried in the cornerstone of the church. Are you taking any kind of measures to make sure that happens?
We indeed are. The first measure, of course, is the Grand Ledge Historical Society. And they have been actively involved in the process right from the very beginning. The second item that we are doing is making an entry in the Eaton County Registrar of Deeds. And the third, and I think most important, is the fact that there is indeed a international time capsule registry at Oglethorpe University in Atlanta. And some of the information that I have gathered on time capsules is that they say there probably are 10,000 lost time capsules in the world. And the folks at Oglethorpe are attempting to create an international clearinghouse of where time capsules are located and when they were placed. So our future plan, in fact, immediate future, is to register that with Oglethorpe University.
Very good. Very interesting stuff. And you can don't forget the smartphone angle. Just set an alarm on your smartphone for 2113. Well, we want to thank both of you. Clifford Nags is Trinity Episcopal Church's senior warden. John Bundy is the junior warden. We've been talking about their time capsule. John and Clifford, thanks very much.
You're indeed welcome. Thanks for having us.